So let's get started. So I just curious, out of that, not more than just curious, I just want to know how much can I just read the piece that I hear. How far did we get? I should start like this. Did anyone read the piece that I put out on making tea on Shabbos? A couple of people. Very few. Parts of it. Okay. And how far did you get? Those who didn't? Halfway? Okay. I'm not going to just read the piece. I'm going to say over other stuff also, don't worry. But okay, just curious if... See, Ephraim, I could have just read the whole piece. All right, Ephraim's like, no, everyone read the whole thing. I don't know about that. So today we're going to discuss Ivrei Kli Rishon, and yesterday we discussed Kli Sheni, and so we know Kli Rishon is Mevashel. We discussed Kli Rishon Al Gabe Eish, Shalom Al Gabe Eish, right, whether Bishul Daraisa happens, even Shalom Al Gabe Eish. Someone told me, Jed told me that he saw Rabbi Sablovsky this morning and asked, La Halacha, Shalom Al Gabe Eish, you hold this Daraisa or Drabanan? And he said, no, it's Bishul Daraisa, that he holds Bishul Daraisa, that even Shalom Al Gabe Eish is Bishul Daraisa, like we said yesterday, that Rav Shachter assumes as well that that's that would qualify as Bishul Doraisa. But okay, so you have a Kli Rishon, even Shalol Gabeish is Bishul Doraisa. Kli Sheni is not Mevashel at all. So before we even get to Kaleya Bishul and when all the exceptions to these rules, Kaleya Bishul and Davar Gush, you know, before we get to things of that nature, the first thing we need to discuss, and Kaf, how you classify that, first thing we need to discuss is Ira Kli Rishon. What if something is neither a Kli Rishon nor a Kli Sheni? Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, Kli Rishon is Mevashel. What about Ira? But even before we get to that, just to mention one exception when it comes to Kli Sheni, and that is that Chayyadim writes in Chal Beis Siman Dalet, it appears in Chachmas Adam Chal Nitesiv Vav, that this idea that Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel is only when it's not so hot that it's Yad Nichvis Bo. But if the water in the Kli Sheni is Yad Nichvis Bo, you would burn yourself on it, you'd scald yourself on it, then even a Kli Sheni is Mevashel. It brings a riot from a Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Meiser that Perus are not Chayv and Meiser until there's a Gemar Malach. So what's the Gemar Malacha of Shemen? When the Shemen is Nispashel. So calls man that it's not Nispashel, you could put it in a Kli Sheni, because a Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. But if it's very, very hot, Kadesha Tichva Ayah, that you'd burn your hands, then you can't, because then it's going to be Mevashel. Meaning the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Meiser, that Bishul happens, as far as Hilchos Meisers are concerned, as far as Gemar Malacha for Meiser is concerned, in a Kli Sheni. So why does it be, when the Kli Sheni is Tichva Yad, when the Kli Sheni is hot enough, that you'd scald your hand? So you see that a Kli Sheni that's Yad Nichvas Bo is Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul, that it's subject to Bishul. Now, the Imre Bina in Yeredeya, in Basar B'Chalav, quotes from a Radvaz on the Rambam that's not a raya at all. It could be that there's a big difference between Bishul B'Shabbos and Meiser. When it comes to Bishul B'Shabbos, everything's dependent on what qualifies as Bishul, what counts as Bishul. When it comes to Meiser, it's all about being Machshir La'Achila. Was there a Gemar Malach? Is it ready to be eaten yet? So when it was Machshir for La'Achila, it's very Metziuti. You know, it's very Metzius related. When it comes to Chashabbos, it's at least somewhat halacha related. You know, we discussed yesterday the Or Sameach is pure halacha, Tosfos a little more Metzius related, but there's some level of like halachic bishul that has to happen when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. It's not pure Metzius when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. That's how the Imre Bina suggests to answer this raya. But be that as it may, that's the raya the Chayyadim has, that Yad Nichves Bo is going to be Mvashel even in a Kli Sheni, which means you want to make tea in a Kli Sheni, let's say your old Kli Sheni is that tea is not Kalei Abishal, which we'll discuss, but you want to make tea in a Kli Sheni. According to the Chayei Adam, you have to wait, Kli Sheni is not good enough, you have to wait till the water goes down below the level of Yad Nichves Bo. Mishur Brura quotes the Chayei Adam without quoting any Cholik. He just quotes the sheet of the Chayei Adam that Yad Nichves Bo even has the ability to be Mvashel in a Kli Sheni. Chazon Ish in Maisro Siman Dalet says that, you know, it's very odd that the Rishonim don't make such a distinction. That the Rishonim just talk about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and no Rishon says, oh, but if it's really hot, then in a Kli Sheni, it's going to be Mevashel. So it has to be the Mikra Din. There's no Isser in a Kli Sheni, even if it's Yad Nichves Bo. And that's what the Sefer Shvisa Shabbos says as well. And essentially, that the Chai Adam's all alone over here. I mean, the Mishabura made him less alone by paskening like him, but the Chai Adam's all alone. We don't find anyone that holds that way. And even from the Rambam in the 22nd paragraph of the Shabbos, it sounds like even Yad Nichvis is going to be mutter. As a Raya, the Yad Nichvis is going to be mutter. According to the Or Sameach, of course Yad Nichvis is going to be mutter. Right? The Or Sameach said, you'll say, what's the whole letter of Klisheni? Because it's not a tolda, or it's a tolda de tolda. And if that's the case, it has nothing to do with heat. It's purely about how far it's removed from the original fire. It's a tolda de tolda of the esh, of the ur that you started out with. So it's not going to matter how hot it is. It's for sure not going to be mivashel. So that's just a ha'ara, because it is taken into account when poskim are looking for reasons to be machmir. We saw this morning the Chazon Ish, you know, when he's looking for reasons to be machmir, he throws that in there as something that you, even though you don't get the impression he thinks that it's correct meikra adin, but if you're looking for a reason to be machmir, he'll throw that in there as a reason to be machmir, that you have this idea of the chachmas adam, the yad nichves, is reason to be machmir. Another reason to be machmir on things is that it could be, I mean, Mishabura understands that putting something in a klisheni is not asimi daraisa, it's not pishul daraisa, but is mechzik mevashel. That it's a violation of nisa drabanan of mechzik mevashel. So that's, if you're going to be machmir like that sheet of the Mishnah Brura, that's another, you know, that would be a huge chumrah. And the only thing is, when the Gemara says you could put tavlin in a klisheni, because tavlin is so obviously not bishul. When you're putting spices, you're not cooking the spices. The spices are there to spice up whatever you're making. But to actually put food that's going to be prepared in a klisheni, that's at least mechzi kimavashel. So then, yesh ladin, when it comes to tea, how you would qualify, you know, what tea is in that context. But now let's get into Iroi Kli Rishon. The Mishnah seems like an open and shut case. No, the Mishnah Shabbos Kuf Meimim Beit Kol Shabbat B'Chamer Shabbos Shoros B'Chamer Shabbos Kol Shalom B'Chamer Shabbos Madichin Oso B'Chamer B'Shabbos. Anything that was not cooked prior to Shabbos, no problem. You can pour hot water over it on Shabbos, except for those things that are kalei abishal, except for the maliach hayashin, kliyos hespanin, hadachasun zui gemar melachtan. So it seems pretty open and shut that it's describing iroi. So and it says that if someone was not cooked before Shabbos, no problem. You're allowed to do iroi, which gives the impression that something that's not kalei abishal, you're allowed to just pour hot water over it. So this is machlokas rishonim, though. What hadacha are we talking about? Pouring from a kli rishon? Is that what it's talking about? So Tosfos on the Tesa ben Aleph quotes a machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam, and he has a girsa Rashba, but they changed the girsa to the Rashbam. So it's known as machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, because the Rashash changes the girsa over there, and on Membeis he's pretty explicit that it's the Rashbam. So this was like, you know, I was listening to Rabbi Sabalovsky on my way in this morning, and Rabbi Sabalovsky, you know, he always paints a picture he always tells a story. So they're sitting around Rashi's table, and the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, right? You know, like it's a family discussion. So he's so good, you know, it's like so engaging. So anyway, Tosfos quotes this machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, where as far as Iroi Kli Rishon, according to the Rashbam, Iroi from a Kli Rishon has the same thing is the same din as a Kli Sheni, and it's not going to be Mevashel. So when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to soak a Michael Chai Kli Rishon, and it's Matir Iroi, it means Iroi Kli Rishon, exactly what we thought. However, the Rabbeinu Tam says no. Iroi from a Kli Rishon is the same as Kli Rishon. It's going to be Mevashel. It's a halachic problem. Why do we allow Iroi? Why does the Mishnah allow Iroi? That's Iroi Klisheni. It means you're pouring it out of a Klisheni, you're not pouring it out of a Kli Rishon. Which begs the question, in Fractosis, wait a second. The Mishnah jumps straight from Kli Rishon to Iroi Klisheni. Why didn't the Mishnah just say, and the halacha is that Klisheni Zeinam Mevashel. So if the Mishnah wanted to come up with a case of Zeinam Mevashel, why is it jumping to Iroi Klisheni? Tell me Klisheni Zeinam Mevashel. Just say that's Zeinam Mevashel. So says Tosfos, and this is the idea that we just mentioned a few moments ago, that you're right, Klisheni Zeinam Mevashel, but it's Mechzik Mevashel. Klisheni Zeinam Mevashel. of Bishul. It looks like Bishul. And therefore, the Mishnah didn't want to give an example of a klisheni, because even though it's a good example of that which is not mevashel on a daraisa level, but mitarabanan, you're not allowed to put something in a klisheni. But irui klisheni is not even mechzi kemevashel, it's going to be heter gamur. That's what Tosa suggests. Then Tosa gives another teretz that no, in a chinami, you're allowed to put something in a klisheni. The reason the Mishnah mentions hadacha is because it wants to be mechadesh that a dag maliach and a kulias haspanin are asriya fila ba'adacha, that not only when you have Kalei Abishal, is it going to be us to put in a klisheni? Even a Yuri klisheni is going to be a problem. That's the chiddush that the Mishnah wants to tell us. So that's those are the two basic deals. What's the status of Yiroi? Two basic deals. The Rashbam says that it's like a cliche. It's not mevashel at all. And Rabbeinu Tam says that it is mevashel. Then Tosa says v'nira, and it seems like this is Rabbeinu Tam defending himself, but Tosa is not explicit about that. Tosa mem beis am beis v'nira. A third shita, compromise. Iroi is not mevashel like a kli rishon, so not like Rabbeinu Tam originally, nor is Iroi like a kli sheni, which is not mevashel at all, except for Kalei Abishal like the Rashbam. It's mevashel k'dei klipa, the outermost surface of the item. It is odd to me that the Beis Yosef in Shin Yud Ches doesn't quote the shita at all. It appears in Yerideya, but in Aruch Chaim, which came first, the Beis Yosef doesn't even mention the Shita of Kedei Klipa unless I missed it, which is, I don't know, just strange. The Tosfos brings a raya from Maseches Pesachim that Kedei Klipa is an Inyan. What's the raya? Pesachim Dafayin Vav. The Gemara tells us that according to Shmuel, even though Tasa Agavar, whenever you have something hot go on something cold, or something cold go on something hot, you have to determine what's going to heat up, what's going to impact what. Is the cold going to cool down the hot item, or is the hot going to heat up the cold item, and therefore affect transfer of time and affect Bishul? So the Gemara says that even though Shmuel holds Tasa Agavar, there's Bishul Kedei Klipa on the bottom item, even though the bottom item is cold. Meaning, the concept of Tasa Gavar tells me that if the bottom item is cold and the top item is hot, then there's no Bishul. Right? That's the concept of Tasa Gavar. I have a hot piece of meat and a block of cold cheese, and I put the meat on top of the cheese. So Tasa Gavar, and there's no Bishul Bas Bechala. That's the concept of Tasa Gavar, right? That the cold overpowers the hot that's on top of it. So on the surface, you're going to say, wait a second, isn't Iroi exactly a situation like that? Where I'm taking something hot, I'm putting it on top of something, I'm pouring it on top of something cold. Tasa Gavar should tell me there's no Bishul. And that's Rashbam's Raya. That, you know, I know for sure it has a din of a klisheni. Sachmayin Vav, Tasa Gavar, whatever's on the bottom overpowers, and the bottom thing is cold, so it overpowers, so there's no Bishul. So Tosa says, you're right, but you got to read the details, you got to read the fine print. And the fine print of the Gemara says, there's no Bishul on the whole thing, but Kedei Klipa's Mevashel, till the bottom one has enough time to cool off the hot thing that fell on it, in that, you know, the moments it takes for that to happen, the surface, the top, the topmost layer gets Mevushel. The topmost layer has a little bit of Bishul on it. So Rabbeinu Tam says, or Tosel says, that's a raya to Rabbeinu Tam, you know, to some version of Rabbeinu Tam, that is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. That's not nothing, it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. That's the raya that they bring. Now, it's interesting that the Rashbam seems to be assuming, why is Iroi like a klisheni? I mean, his raya is from Tasa Agavar. So what does that mean? That Iroi is klisheni because when it hits the cold item, it now gets cooled down, right? What about before it hits the cold item? What about while it's outside, you know, it's in midair? It hasn't yet hit the cold surface of the kli or the whatever's in the kli. It's in midair. At that point, if you have to freeze it, forgetting any nafkaminas la'alacha, at that point, you press pause, and there it is. The water is in midair. Is that water kli rishon, or is that water kli sheni, according to the Rashbam? Right, the Rashbam said once it lands in the kli, it's kli sheni. In midair, kli rishon or kli sheni? Kli rishon. Why?
Because it Oh,
the whole word of the Rashbam is tasa'a gavar. Tasa'a gavar is only when there's a tasa'a, when it hits, and the tasa'a cools it down. So it sounds from the Rashbam that when it's in midair, it's still din of kli rishon. We mentioned in the past, the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. He doesn't like this Rabbeinu Yonah at all, but he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah that k'shema'arin hamayim li'altar shiyatsu min akli, afal pishen rotchin pasakach ritzichasan milavashel kidin kli sheni sheinu mevashel. As soon as the water leaves the dofne kli rishon, right away it becomes a kli sheni, and therefore that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah said, and we have a big problem with the Jewish people, because what the Jewish people do sometimes is they have a chalent pot that's a kli rishon, and they and the chalent is getting dry, and they'll take a kettle that has hot water in it, and they'll, you know, it's also a kli rishon, and they'll pour water from the kettle into the chalent pot. Bishul d'oraisa, terrible. What? Why is it Bishul D'oraisa? The Ron says, I don't understand what the problem is. Rabbeinu Yonah wants to, like, you know, be mevatel shiduchim over this. Like, you know, like what's going on? So the Rabbeinu Yonah understands that the second it leaves the Kli Rishon, it's already has a din of Kli Sheni. And now, to put it into a Kli Rishon, you're being mevashel. To put it into a Kli Rishon, you're being mevashel. Assuming Yesh Bishul Acher Rishon. I mean, that's where we discussed this. Yeah.
That whole sugya, was that in the case of
Al-Gabayesh or Al-Gabayesh? No, even Al-Gabayesh. Right. If it's Al-Gabayesh and it's cooking right now, so, and regardless. Meaning, there would, it's, I don't know, you, I don't think, you can't say Yilal Gavar if you're putting it on fire. What do you mean the Kli Rishon Al-Gabayesh? Meaning when the Kli Rishon is still Al-Gabayesh?
Yeah, like our urns.
Oh, okay, like our urns. Right, okay.
So maybe you could say that if you make the Kimto that the case is talking about Al-Gabayesh, so then that's when it will be like, you know.
Which case is talking about Al-Gabayesh?
In the Gemara, in the Pesachim.
About Tasa'a Gavar?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, but there is discussion in Poskim when you have Kli Rishon al Gabe Eish, whether you're going to say Iwe Kli Rishon the same, or, you know, it doesn't go down a level. But it comes out that there's this Machlok Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashbam, and the Nafkamina would be pouring hot water into the Chal, right? And according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, this is highly problematic. The Rashbam would say it's no problem because it has to hit something cold in order for it to have it in a Kli Sheni, and it's going to hit something hot because it's going right into another Kli Rishon, so it wouldn't be a problem. Again, Rabbeinu Tam will say that what are you talking about? It's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So the whole Tasa'a Gavar Raya is not a Raya. The Rashbam didn't know that part of the Gemara. You know, it's so strange, no? That the Tosa says, oh, you could say that it's still a problem, Yirik Kli Rishon is still a problem, even in light of the Sugya of Tasa'a Gavar, because the Sugya of Tasa'a Gavar still allows for the fact that there's Bishul Kedei Klipa. So it's still going to be a problem. How did the Rashbam not realize that? So the Shach in Yaradeya raises that issue, and he said that that's Blios. Kedei Klipa is a din in Blios, not a din in Bishul, and Blios are different than Bishul. So Kedei Klipa is not going to happen when it comes to Bishul. Tos brings another raya. Again, so far we have three shittos, right? We have the idea that Rabbeinu Tam, Pashut reading of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's mevashel entirely. Iri Kli Rishon is mevashel. We have the Rashbam that it's not mevashel at all, and then we have this anonymous Balatosos, perhaps defending Rabbeinu Tam, that says that it is mevashel, but only Kedei Klipa. Right. So far it's three shittos, but two of them might be Rabbeinu Tam. That's where it gets a little confusing. Tos brings another raya from another Gemara in Daf Ayin Vav, but in a different Masechta, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that Rav Ukva bought a pot from a guy, and before he did Hagala, he put dough around the edges of the pot so that when it splatters hot water, it will land on the edges, on the top of the pot, and will stay there a little bit. It will sit there because the dough is going to hold it there, and that way, kibolo kachpolta will be able to kasher the pot. Meaning if he's not going to get water, I mean, it's always difficult when you kasher a pot, because if there's treif on the top edge of the pot, how are you going to kasher that? How are you going to, so normally, what do we do? You take an oven with benes or something, and you stick it in, and it overflows the pot, or you let it boil over or something like that, but you got to get to the top of the pot. So what did he do? He put like a rim around the top of the pot, he boiled it up, and that way all the boiling water sits there, it doesn't escape the pot, and that way he was able to kasher the pot with the principle of kibolo kach polto. So that's what the Gemara says. Sounds from the Gemara that it's only because it was boleya al yidei nitzotzos that you're able to kasher al yidei nitzotzos. But wait a second, if Iroi has the din of a kli rishon legamri, if Iroi is mamish like a kli rishon, so the blia should go out with the nitzotzos anyway, because it's a kiroi kli rishon. Why does the Gemara say kibolo kach polto even without kibolo kach polto? Just kasher with Iroi and the nitzotzos. So why do you have to say that? Oh, the reason it works is because it was only balei al yidei nitzotzos, which are tiny little droplets of water. If Iroi is like klisheni, so then lechora it should be irrelevant. Klisheni is in a mevashel, so klisheni shouldn't be able to kasher b'chlal. Meaning, to the extent that there's a problem that needs to be kashered, if Iroi is like klisheni, then you can't kasher. It shouldn't kasher. Now this is Iroi al gabei eish, right? This is very clearly Iroi al gabei eish. So it's difficult either way. There is another shita. And that appears also anonymously from a balatosos, so Maseches Vachem daf Tzadivav. And that shita, this fourth shita, holds that Iroi is Kli Rishon, it's Mevashel fully. But Tosa says, wait a second, then how do you explain Tasa Gavar? So it sounds like it's not really Mevashel. So Tosa says, no, there's a big difference between the whole sugya of Tasa Gavar and the sugya of Iroi. And not based on Kedei Klipa, they're two totally different sugyas, two totally different topics. See, Iroi is when it's lo nifshak hakiluach. You're pouring something out of a kettle, so the stream goes straight from the kettle to wherever you're pouring onto. The case of Tasa Gavar is the item that you're putting, you're taking this cold piece of cheese and sticking it on a hot piece of meat, or taking a hot piece of cheese, let's say it's a hot piece of meat and sticking it on a cold piece of cheese, that meat is no longer in the Kli Rishon. It's no longer connected to the Kli Rishon. There's no Kiluach. There's nothing. It's totally divorced from the Kli Rishon. So when it's Nifsak HaKiluach, when it's no longer connected to the Kli Rishon, then it's only going to be able to be Vashel Kedei Klipa. But if it's Lo Nifsak HaKiluach, if you have a steady stream going straight from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni, then the Iroi has a din like a Kli Rishon Legamri that it's able to be Vashel entirely. And some of the Rishonim quote that as Rabbeinu Tam as well. So you have four shitos, three of them are Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, how does that work? Rabbeinu Tam holds that Iroi is Mevashel. Problem is there's a Gemara against him, because the Gemara says that Iroi is, that Tasa Gavar. So how you answer that Gemara will land you in different places. Right? If you answer that Gemara the way Tosfos Masech Shabbos, you'll say, yeah, it's Mevashel, but only Kedei Klipa, and that's all Rabbeinu Tam really meant, that it's only Mevashel Kedei Klipa. If you answer it like Tosfos and Zvachim, no, it's Mevashel fully, but only when it's Lo Nifsak HaKiluach. But if it's Nifsak HaKiluach, if the stream stops at any point, then it's not. It's only going to be Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Or you can just read Rabbeinu Tam straight, that it's Mevashel entirely, and say that there's a difference between a Blia and Bishel, and they're two totally separate sugyas, and they have nothing to do with each other. So three out of the four might be Rabbeinu Tam, but you have Tosfos and Shabbos, Tosfos and Zvachim, and the simple reading of Rabbeinu Tam. And then you have the Rashbam, which is the easiest to understand, because the Rashbam just says that Iroi Kli Rishon has a din of Kli Sheni. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud, you're not allowed to put tavlin in the Ka'ara and Laros Alein Mikli Rishon. Why not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, because we assume Iroi is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Now, Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the idea of Kedei Klipa, but he says you can't pour from a Kli Rishon onto tavlin. I would have said, why can't you pour from a Kli Rishon onto tavlin? What's the simplest explanation? Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's only Mevashel Kedei Klipa. We're going like that version of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's only Mevashel Kedei Klipa. The Shulchan Aruch himself says in Sif Dalid that a Dover Yavesh that's not Nisbashel from before Shabbos, you're Madich Moso Bechamin Beshabbos. You have a raw piece of meat, you're allowed to be Madiach Bechamin Beshabbos. But if Yiru is Mvashel Kzei Klipa, how do we allow you to pour? Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, it means Yiru Klishe. Right? I mean, that was that's the Mishnah. It's just the Shulchan Aruch is quoting Lashon on the Mishnah. And if you hold that Yiru is Mvashel, Yiru Klishe is Mvashel, you have to say that when the Mishnah allows Yiru, it means Yiru Klishe. Okay, so that's how the Mishnah Berurah touches up what the Shulchan Aruch means. One more raya that comes up. There are several others, but one more raya that comes up is Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara talks about what if you make bagels? How do you make a bagel? Anyone ever work in the bagels? You boil it in water, then what? Then you bake it, right? So there's a shaila in Poskim in the Gemara whether chayv nafrashas chala when you're going to cook the dough first and then bake the dough. We paskim yes, we do afrashas chala in bagel stores. But it's a shaila in poskim whether cooking the dough first takes away the chiyuv hafrashas challah. So the Gemara talks about if a person takes a dough, a real dough, 5 grains, and he pours boiling water on it. He doesn't dump it in boiling water like he would in a bagel store. He pours boiling water on it and then he bakes it. So how do you? What's the din in such a case? How do you view that? Do you view that as bishul as a bishul or not? So, the Gemara seems to work with the assumption that that's going to be a bishul, and the whole shaila is whether the bishul is enough to take away the chiva of Frash Chala. It's Iroi, so apparently Iroi is Mevashal. According to Tosus and Zvachim, fantastic, right? Iroi is Mevashal. It's not Nifsaka Kiluach, it's Mevashal Lagami. Only if it's Nifsaka Kiluach, it's not Mevashal. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the way Tosos fixed him. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the simple reading that's Mevashal everything, also fantastic. According to Tosos, the third Rabbeinu, right, the way Tosos and Shabbos fixed him, that it's only Mevashal Kedei Klipa, does that come out at work? It's going to take away the Chiyuv HaFrashas Challah when you pour hot water over it? No, what are you telling? Does that come out at work? That might be an answer, but just on the simple reading, does that come out at work? Meaning, what is it? If the bread has been mevushal, then it takes away the chiyuv hafrashas challah. If you hold this on mevushal kedei klipa, how much of it was mevushal? Only kedei klipa. You're going to bake all of it. The rest of it's going to be baked. You're still chayvin hafrashas challah. So what's the Gemara talking about? And of course, according to the Rashbam, you have a problem. That if it's not mevushal at all, so what are we talking about? That you're pouring from a kli rishon. So according to 2 out of 4 shitos, we have a problem with this Gemara. 2 out of 4 shittos were fine. If you hold that Iroi is mamish bishul, as long as lo nifsaka kiluach or whatever, it's mamish bishul, so then you have no problem. But if you hold that it's only vashal kedei klipa, what about the rest of it? You're going to bake all of it. So how do we consider that bishul? And if it's certainly like the Rashbam, it's going to be difficult to work out. So Beit Tam may not be so hard, because you could say that, and Tosus explains this in Zvachim, Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Tam to answer this. That Yeshlomer demayri kon deleka el kadei chiyuv chala mitzumtzam. You're the person who figured out exactly what the shiur chiyuv chala is. We don't know, right? We always say bimachmir anywhere between 3 and 5 pounds with it, bimafresh without a bracha. Once you have 5 pounds, you mafresh with a bracha. But you're the guy. You figured out exactly what the shiur mitzumtzam is. You did experiments and whatever, and you studied and whatever. You figured out exactly what the shiur mitzumtzam of chala is. And you have exactly that amount of dough. And if you're mimayit anything from your dough, then you won't have a shir chala and you're not going to have to be mafresh. That's the ukimta you make in the Gemara. The case is, it's exactly, you can imagine it happening. If someone figures out whatever the exact shir is and they have such a shita, right, they would sell it like that. You'd sell that amount of flour. So that because women want to bake, they don't want to bake a million chalas, they just want to bake enough that they can say the brach every week because they're doing it for a foolish lema for this one or that one, or there's a school if you get 40 women to do it, not 41, but if you get 40 women to, so you would sell like that amount, right? So let's say you have exactly that shear. And now you're mevashel kedei klipa. What happened if you're mevashel kedei klipa? Now you have pachos mikashir. Pachos mikashir, pata from chala. That's what the Gemara meant. Whoa, that's quite an akimta. That's exactly what you have, the shear of frasha. And then the other possibility, like Willie's saying, that the reason pouring water is not going to be chayv and chal is because by chal the din is that the afiyah needs to be what makes it edible. And if some other, I mean, it's like maestros, like we said before. It's not about whether there's a technical halachic bishul. It's that the din by chal is that the afiyah has to be what makes it edible. If you already made it edible through some other process, even if it was zira kli rishon, even if zira kli rishon has the din of a kli sheni, but b'mitzias, it made it edible, so then it's going to be patur chal. It's a technical din in hilchas chal. That's what you'd have to say. Okay, so at the end of the day, what do we normally pask in Iri Kli Rishon? We normally assume Mevashel Kadei Kliva. Good, right? Someone said we got to, you know, quote all the Rishonim and then all the Rayas and whatever. Got to say what we hold, right? So Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashel Kadei Kliva. So if you have a raw piece of meat and you want to pour some hot water over your urn, from your urn straight onto the raw piece of meat, that's an Isser, right? Potentially Daraisa, that would be Iri Kli Rishon being Mevashel Kadei Kliva. Good. Then we said, you know, but klisheni has the ability to be mevashel also, but only those items that could be qualified, that qualify as kalei abishal. Question?
Maybe for the Rishbam, we have to say that it's a pran plus chal.
I think so.
What was three? It was for Rabbeinu Tam, either bishal, kadei klipa, and what was the third one?
Either it's mevashel entirely, it's always, it's mevashel kadei klipa, or it's only mevashel entirely when it's lo nifsak hakiluach. Right, that's the Tosas and Zvach in the family of Rabbeinu Tam. So we said that even though you're allowed to be madiach raw food, you're allowed to pour hot water on raw food that are not nispashel b'klal, but you're not allowed to do it on food that's nispashel b'klal, something called kalei abishel. So the idea is that there are certain foods that are so easily cooked that they're going to even be cooked in a kli sheni. Now, how are we magdir? What's called kalei abishal? What's not called kalei abishal? Meaning, I don't know. I have a lot of items around my house. Is my tea bag kalei abishal? Right. So there, it seems to me that there are three shitos. We thought about this a little bit this morning, but we're mowed in the end. Yeah. So we agree. It seems that there are three shitos about what kalei abishal is. Lahalacha. Some suggest that any food that's not mentioned beforeish in the Gemara as not being kalei abishal, you have to assume is kalei abishal. I don't know what's kalei abishal, what's not. So you just always have to be machmir. I know the Gemara identifies certain things, you know, ox meat or whatever, as chumrei abishal. You know, there are certain things. Water is not kalei abishal. There are certain things that the Gemara identifies dafka as not being shemen. Right? The Gemara said that he brought the shemen to the bathhouse. Oh, you got to put that in a klisheni. What do you mean? I thought you can't put anything in a klisheni because it might be kalei abishal. So it's mefurish in the Gemara that shemen is not kalei abishal. That mayim is not kalei abishal. That tough ox meat is not kalei abishal. Anything that's not mefurish in the Gemara, you have to assume, is kalei abishal. That's the Urayim. The Urayim says it's beferishim reishai and dalid. Hilchach yizor adam shalola hachnos b'shabes shum davar b'klisheni she'einonu b'kiyim b'dvarim rachim v'kashim. The Smag also says, in losa se'samachei, sof hilchas ofe, umiklisheni she'kosav doma she'tofis ikur d'yesh dvarim she'mesbashim af b'klisheni. There are things that get cooked, that will become cooked even in the klisheni, because I'm reading l'el demelech b'klisheni nami b'sheila. Ve'ein anu b'kiyim b'dvarim akalim l'spashel v'roi l'hachmir b'kula. So two Rishonim both say that, two Chashur Rishonim, the Yireim and the Smag, both say that everything's got to be Kalei Abishal. No surprise, Meshvur Shin Yilches, Membeis, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus, in the name of Shlomo Zalman, everything's Kalei Abishal. Then you have the opposite extreme, that the Gemara told us a few things that are Kalei Abishal. You know, the very title, Kalei Abishal, implies that these are an exception and not the rule. So the Gemara identified a few things that are very easily cooked. And anything that's not one of those things that the Gemara identified is not going to be Kalei Abishal. And that's what you have in the Chazanish. Chazanish writes in Simen Nun Beis, Os Yud Ches, Umishum Kalei Spashal Ein Lahachzik Bistam. You don't just assume something is Kalei Abishal. Elamai, if it happens to also be Yad Nichvis, says the Chazanish, right? Meaning it's in a klisheni, and the water is so boiling, it's still yad nichvis. So then you have the chachmas adam, the chayyadim that holds it. That has been like kli rishon. If you're looking for a chumra, you know, you could assume something is kalei abishal in a klisheni, it's yad nichvis. But meikra din, the yad nichvis thing is not a problem. Meikra din, the chachmas adam came up with this on his own, and meikra din, the kalei abishal thing is not a problem because the things are not kalei abishal unless you know that they're kalei abishal. And Rav Vadya, or Rav Yitzchak Yosef, and Yalkut Yosef, Shin Yud Ches Os Mem Vav, says the same thing. And based on that, he says you can put mint leaves into your tea on Shabbos, even though the tea is very hot. Because the cliché is Einu Mevashel, and it's not Kalei Abishel. Chaznish points out that it's Mefurish in the Gemara that water is not considered Kalei Abishel. He says, you know, what gets more easily cooked than water? So, you know, the implication is that even things that are pretty easily cooked are not kalei abishal. So we always assume things are not kalei abishal unless we know otherwise. Now, what do we know for sure is not kalei abishal? What do we know for sure is not kalei abishal? We know mayim is not kalei abishal. We know shem is not kalei abishal. What else? Tavlin. So tavlin is very critical. Because what's a tavlin? Tavlin adds no mamashos to the food. It adds flavor to the food. So that's going to be huge when it comes to tea. Because the pashup shot is that tea is a tavlin. It adds no mamashas to the food, it just adds flavor. That's what tea does. It's like a classic example of a tavlin. And then there's this third shita. The third shita is, you got to look and see if it looks like it's kalei abishal. The Rambam sounds this way in the ninth paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos Bir Halacha, quotes this in Shin Yud Ches Dalet. And it's lav dafka these things, chol kayotzi be'elu, anything that's dak, verach, anything that looks like it's easily cooked. It's mashma that way from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, because Shulchan Aruch and the Rama that we saw in Sif Hei, when we talk about Bishul HaCharafiyah, says that if you hold that Yesh Bishul HaCharafiyah, then dipping your chala even in a cliche in is a problem. Why? Because apparently you have to worry that chala is kalei abishal. Says the Chazanish, of course you have to worry chala is kalei abishal. You already baked it, so of course it's going to be chala is bashal. I mean, once you hold Yesh Bishul HaCharafiyah, it becomes very, it automatically becomes kalis bashal because you've already gotten it so far along the way, right? If bishal is like the breaking down and the changing of a view, you've already done so much to it. So that's going to be kalei abishal. But anything else that doesn't appear in the Gemara says chaznish. So chaznish is in that second category, as is Rav Shechter, by the way. So you have the first category is the mefurish and rishonim, the ureim, the smag, and mishavur pasin this way. You got to assume everything's kalei abishal. Second category, chaznish. Why would you assume everything's kalei abishal? Assume nothing is kalei abishal. Even water is not kalei abishal. Then the third shita that might be shita's ramam, bir halacha seems to quote that you have to look at each item as it is. Yeah. I don't know, we thought so too, the way it was quoted at least, but then we looked at the Chazanish carefully and it sounded like the Chazanish was saying. Because it's a Gemara. Egg is a Gemara. Says it by tea? Did we see that by tea? We didn't see that. But he says by the egg, because the egg is a Beferish Gemara. I mean, that's goof of the point. I mean, he only gives examples of things that are Beferish in the Gemara. You sure he says it by tea? Okay. We saw the way the Aruch HaShabbos quoted the Chazanish, and I wasn't convinced that it was accurate. At least Chazanish Nun Beis Yud Ches. Okay. Now, what about a Kli Shlishi? So, Kli Shlishi is an interesting topic because Kli Shlishi is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. So, what's the status? Is it meaning everyone will tell you it's not mentioned in the Gemara because it's Davar Pashut, right? Davar Pashut, what? So some of us believe that it's a Davar Pashut, that the same thing as a Klisheni. Others believe it's a Davar Pashut that it's not even anywhere near, that it's of course not going to be in Vashel. It's for sure this is a Klisheni. I remember when I first got married, my wife wanted to know, does she have to cover her hair in front of her brother, right? In front of her father, her brother. So, in short, you know, she was never married before, neither was I. Like, I don't know what the practice was. So I walked around the basement. I was asking all the Kollel young guys, you know. I figured those are the guys you ask. You ask the older guys in the basement. They've been married, right? So I asked, you know, Shalom Rasmer and Asaf Bednar and Chaim Eisenstein, you know, like Chaim Packer, like the Chevra, you know. Those are the guys that those guys know how to learn, right? So I just went around. So I don't remember David Gottlieb. I don't remember who said what, but that was a Kol Elyon back in the day. That's pretty good group. But I don't remember who said what. But I do remember that every single one of them thought it was a Davar Pashut. And half of them thought it was a Davar Pashut that she does have to, and half of them thought it was a Davar Pashut she didn't have to. None of them ever asked the Shaila, because they were all 100% sure that it was a Davar Pashut. So I remember I saw Reuven Feinstein at a chasana shortly after that, and not at a chasana, at a bar mitzvah, one of the Tandor bar mitzvahs. So I asked him, and he said, "Ah, Kimchas." I hadn't learned any Gemaras then. At the time, I didn't know anything. So I'm like, "Oh." I had no idea. I'm like, Kemach, is that flower? Is that like a, I had no idea what Kimchus was. So I didn't know the Gemara yet. That was right. Chumrah that she had, that even the Koros Besa didn't see her hair uncovered. So he was trying to say that it's a proper Chumrah of like Kimchus. Okay. That's a very good question. I would think not. I asked Rav Shachter. He said, "What do my daughters do? I don't think I ever see their hair." So I got the psak of Rav Shachter's daughters. So what about Kli Shlishi? So the Yerayim says, Beferish, that he says, Hilkach Yizar Adam Shlo Lachnum Shab Shum Dovar Bekli Sheni, Va'af Bekli Shlishi, Shayatzel Edispo. Sheinon Bekim Dvar Mrakim Makashim, Mihu Mispasha Bekli Sheni, Mihu Sheni Mispasha. He just like throws it in there. Can't put something into a kli sheni. The same Yerayim that says that everything's kalei abishal has another chumrah. Everything's kalei abishal, and guess what? It could be in the special and a kli shlishi also. Rav Meisha disagrees. Rav Meisha writes that in a kli sheni we're machmir. He's machmir like that. Sheita, they have to worry that everything's kalei abishal. But in a kli shlishi, he doesn't think you have to be machmir. I don't think anything gets cooked in a kli shlishi. The Gemara only talks about kli sheni. Kli sheni, we don't know what's kalei abishal, what's not. So I mean, I agree to be machmir that everything's kalei abishal, but I don't think we should be machmir that a kli shlishi. Or Chashulchan Shin Yilchesiv Chavchesi quotes, that a neinu ro'os, that T is mispashal gam b'kli shlishi. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean a neinu ro'os? You see bishul with your eyes of T? How do you see bishul of T? You know what you see when you put a tea bag into the hot water? The water changes the color. You ever hear of cold brew? Anyone ever hear of cold brew? What does cold brew mean? That even without any hot water, it will also change color. It will take a little longer. You don't have to wait sheer of 24 hours of kavush or anything like that. But it will also turn colors. So Moshe says, you don't see bishul. You see it changing colors. So he says, I don't know why the Orach HaShulchan is so impressed with the color change. That's got nothing to do with anything. And then there's a third sheet that's sort of like a compromise. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that it's mutter to put stam food in a kli shlishi. Meaning, there are two chumras here. There's the chumra to treat everything like aleya bishul. And then there's the chumrah that kli shlishi has din of a kli sheni. You don't have to take both chumras at the same time. So if you're in a kli shlishi and you don't know that it's kalei abishal, it's just a stam food, you're not sure if it's kalei abishal, so you don't have to be machmir and make the assumption that it's kalei abishal. That's the compromise approach. But as we pointed out, tavlin seems to be pretty clear, right? The Mishnah and Shabbos, you could put tavlin in a kli sheni. Tavlin is apparently very clearly not kalei abishal. So Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, tavlin is not kalei abishal, but says Shmir Shabbos the name of Shlomo Zalman that's only old style spices where they used to have like sometimes anyone ever go shopping and you have to buy spices, so it's overwhelming. The spice aisle in any grocery is like, there's so many things, there's so many different spices. So and some of them, there's the whole spice and then there's the grounds. Cinnamon, I once brought home the wrong cinnamon. I was supposed to bring the sticks and I brought cinnamon, like ground cinnamon. They're not the same, right? Meaning when it's ground up, it's an entirely different thing. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, once it's ground up, of course it's kalei abishal. Kalei abishal is, you take a cinnamon stick, that's not kalei abishal. But you grind it up and it's a powder. A powder has to be kalei abishal. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And when the Gemara says that tavlin is not kalei abishal, it's only talking about whole spices, but your ground black pepper is kalei abishal. In Orcha Shabbos, Ephraim showed me this morning, in Orcha Shabbos, he says, not that way. He says, he doesn't understand how you can say that. The Gemara all over the place, Gemara Maseches Beitza, and the Gemara elsewhere, talks about Maducha, where they would grind up Tavlin. Grinding Tavlin is not something that we just discovered now. How did they use black pepper? Right? They took like the actual peppers and chomped on them? There's no way. Obviously, they said they ground them up. So the Gemara is just going to mention that Tavlin is not Kalei Abishal, that Tavlin could be put in a Klisheni, and not add that very important detail that, by the way, if you use it the way every human being on earth uses it, then it becomes Kalei Abishal? How could you say such a thing? So the Orcha Shabbos disagrees. And then there's a discussion in Poskim, what about tea? Is tea considered to be Kalei Abishal or not? So Shlomo Zalman says, of course it's Kalei Abishal. Why is it of course Kalei Abishal? Because ground spices are Kalei Abishal. Tea is so finely ground. If you use a normal tea bag, the leaves in there are so finely ground. Of course it's Kalei Abishal. In the Tshuvas Ginas V'radim, he says that anything that's not there to give flavor, but becomes the Iker HaTavshil, or the Iker HaMashke, you're not allowed to put in a klisheni, but for a different reason. Not because of Bishul, but because of Nirek HaMashal. Meaning, the Svar we said before, that the Tosa said, right? Tosa had such a shita that when it comes to Tavlin, you could put Tavlin in a klisheni because no one thinks you're cooking the Tavlin. But to put anything else in a klisheni is not a problem of Bishul, it's a problem of Mechzik HaMashal, it's a problem of Bishul Midrabanan. Mishnah Berurah quotes this La'alacha. That putting food in a klisheni, even if it's not Kalei Abishal, is Mechzikim Mevashal. Says the Ginas Radin, when you put a tea bag in hot water, you're not just flavoring the water, you're making a tea. The tea is the Iker ingredient, so you're cooking tea. So you don't have that heter of, oh, it's just Tavlin. The whole Svara of it's just Tavlin is a Svara that no one, that it's not Mexican Vashon, because no one will call it, no one will see you putting some black pepper into your soup and say, oh, he's cooking black pepper. No, he's cooking the soup. And to make the soup tasty, you put black pepper in. But they see you putting a tea bag into the tea, and what is that, into the hot water, what do they say? He's making a tea. So that becomes the Ikra Tavshil. I don't know. Why should that matter? What people call it? Mexican, that's Mexican Vashal? People, that's how we define Mexican Vashal? What people call it? That people call it making, cooking a tea? I don't say, in Matias, it's the same thing. You're flavoring the water the same way any other spice would flavor the water. It just happens to be you prefer the flavor of tea and not the flavor of black pepper or cinnamon or anything else. I'm not sure I'd buy that.
That's kind of close.
The other what?
If it looks like it, so then it can become like, you know, colored water.
No, that's in terms of a get of what's mayim, whether it has a din of mayim or not.
Does it remain mayim or it becomes a different thing?
Yeah, but over here it's mayim. But see, it's the same thing. Two people are putting spices into their water because it's more common to put tea into water than to put other spices into water. That's going to determine whether it's Mexican Mavashal? I don't know. I would think that it's the Iker item, it's the Iker substance of the item. That's what I would think it's. I don't know.
Isn't the issue that sometimes it's like it's the only thing going in the water? Like, it's the only thing going in the water because you're spicing something
else? I don't think so. I don't think that's the gather. I mean, I hear, but I think the gather is that it's the Iker Tavshil. It's what you're actually cooking in there. And the water is the Iker part. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, Rabbeinu Amar B'zeh HaLashon, Saba Shali, Hayu Medaktik B'mitzvos, Vayu Mishtamish B'sakiyotei B'klisheni. That, I asked Rav Shechter afterwards, which Saba, which grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik, he said it was Rav Elia Prozhiner, but then other people told me it was Rav Chaim also, that they both made tea in a klisheni. Because tea is a tavlin. Tavlin is not Kalei Abishal. So maybe you can make it in a klisheni. That it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah. My father-in-law told me once that Rav Soloveitchik explained that the reason why his grandfather made tea in a klisheni was that it had a din of tavlin. I think my father-in-law learned Shabbos by the Rav. I'm not sure. My wife's uncle, Julius Berman, learned Shabbos by the Rav during his first year in law school. So he, or maybe second year in law school, one of his years in law school. So everyone else, right after Shir, was running out to go to classes, and he was able to stay behind because, I don't know, I guess asynchronous. So he was able to chazer over all of his notes with the Rav afterwards to make sure he got everything down. So he has like this really beautiful set of notes on Shabbos. I should really take a look at them. I got to dig them up. I have a photocopy of them, you know, from the Rav Shirim and Shabbos. So my father-in-law told me that Dr. Shmuel Soloveitchik used to be a chemistry teacher here, the Rav's brother. He died in 1967. That was the year of the Rav's triple Avelus. So Dr. Shmuel Soloveitchik said that my brother is 100% right. My grandfathers knew how to learn. Chemically, it's pashut that the geder of Tavlin is that T fits the geder of Tavlin. I don't know how he was magdir, what chemically is a Tavlin or is not. But he said, based on the science, based on the chemistry, there's no doubt that the T is Tavlin. That's what he suggested. My father-in-law told me that they used to. Dr. Shmuel Soloveitchik was a character. I never heard much about him. You know, I don't hear so much about him. They said he was like a real personality. So my father-in-law told me that like a bunch of guys were like mimicking him. They were like making fun of the way he speaks or whatever. And he walked into the class and he heard them making fun of him. And he said, "How dare you make fun of my brother? He's the Gadol Ador." He assumed they couldn't be making fun of him. They had to be making fun of the Rav. All right. So how do you actually prepare a cup of tea on Shabbos? So if you have the piece that I gave you, we're not going to go through it now because it's late. But, I go through five different suggestions in Poskim about how to make tea on Shabbos. So what we still have left is Dover Gush and Ladle. And what else? I don't know. Other such things, I guess. So that will be Sunday, Bez Hashem. And we'll see. Maybe Monday we'll actually be ready for official Rabbanan. Well, I want to talk about coffee a little bit also. I wrote something on coffee also, but in English. Maybe I'll send it out. Maybe I won't. All right, we'll see. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone.